Praise the Lord. Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel. Thank you for joining us out here in West Texas Desert for our Sunday service. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
The light shine, for the light is come. The light shine, for the light is come. Glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen above. Glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Glory of the Lord is risen. Glory of the Lord is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon me.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you and we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, for us to gather in your name, Lord, to hear your words, to learn, so that we may go out in this world and walk. And we thank you, Lord, for those words. Let us hear them. Open our eyes. Open our hearts, open our ears, Lord, so that we may open our mouths for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At the cross, where our thirst of light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Oh, alas, indeed, did my Savior sleep, and did my Savior die? Oh, that he should devote such a sacred heart, such a wretch as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, alas, indeed, did my Savior bleed, and did my Savior die? Oh, that he should devote such a sacred heart, such a wretch as I. I've got a new life divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, Jesus made them mine. I've got prosperity, power, and victory, abiding, abiding in the vine. Hallelujah. Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give all glory unto him. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty. I'm abiding, abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, Jesus is made of mine. Of God, prosperity, power, and victory abiding, abiding in the vine. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Hallelujah. For the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Sorry y'all got to put up with my old scrubbly voice today. But it's what I got. So I'll use it. Praise God. Been a lot going on. And I've been doing a lot of praying and thinking about stuff. We hear about walking in the Spirit. We hear about putting off the old man, putting on the new. We hear and talk about casting these things off and putting new things on. And I realized I needed to preach something that I preached years ago. Because it seems that most people, they hear it, and they can say amen, but somehow they never get off the ground. Anybody feel that way sometimes? You hear the word, you can say, I agree with the word, but how do you do the word? It's a funny thing, years ago, some of you may remember, those listening in and those that are here. Years ago, I did a paper called Walking in the Spirit Seminar. And it wasn't, you know, it was just something I put together through prayer to be able to teach off of how to walk in the Spirit. Somehow or another, that thing went viral. And that was before the internet. It was typed on an old executive typewriter onto a mimeograph sheet. And then mimeographed for people that needed to use it in a seminar. And I don't know how it happened, but it ended up being used in colleges and Bible colleges and universities all around the country. They loved it till they met me. Then they didn't want anything to do with it anymore. I remember one time in a service we had in Maryland, everybody called me Brother Davy. And back years ago, I went by Brother Richard. So when I was in Maryland, because I was known there as Little Davy, because of my father, this woman came up to me. She had this Walking in the Spirit seminar. It looked like a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. She said, Have you ever heard this guy? You know? Of course, see, I made a big mistake. I was young then, you know, didn't know any better. I still got to get this thing fixed one of these days. Thank you. Thing's almost as old as I've been in the ministry. It looks about like I do, too. I'm talking about the pulpit for those that can't see. Anyway, I should have asked her what she thought about it, what she got out of it. Instead, I said, yeah, I know who he is. She said, you haven't met him? I said, yeah, and so have you. She said, well, who's that? I said, you're looking at him. She looked at me incredulously and said, that can't be so. So I pulled out my driver's license and showed it to her. There it is. There's the name on the thing. She was insulted, left, and never came back. See, back then I should have been as old as I am now. With old long gray hair and three-piece suit with a pocket watch. Then maybe she could have accepted it, but I was a young guy then. Well, 28, 29, 30, about 30 years old. It's funny how people look at the natural. Now, when you look at people in the natural and you judge people in the natural, you know what that means? That means you're in the natural. You're living in the world. And when you're living in the world, you can only judge by the standards of the world. Oh, they may quote scripture to justify their judgments. But I got news for you. If God were to pull his grace off of this world and judge it, you wouldn't have time to take a shower and kiss your butt goodbye. It'd be all over with. Every bit of it. Because every one of us are sinners. And our flesh and our fleshly mind dwells in the world. So how does one overcome that? How do we overcome living in the world? Well, we can take an example that God has given us. Because, you know, the scripture shows us every invisible thing of God is clearly manifest by the physical things that he has made. So, let us liken the world to gravity. Gravity is something we live with. It holds us to this planet. If we had no gravity, we would float off into space. We would have a hard time. Be nice for a while, you know, as long as you could breathe, fly along, you know. But you better be flying close to the earth or you run out of air. So, this gravity, it's a law. It's a law of nature. It's going to hold you to this earth. But there is a second law of nature. And this law is called the law of lift. Now, it took mankind almost 4,000, 5,000 years to learn how to overcome the law of gravity. I mean, even Da Vinci in his time couldn't figure it all out, but he had some ideas. It wasn't until some Wright brothers got together and built a contraption that actually didn't do away with the law of gravity. It overcame the law of gravity and superseded the law of gravity. And look at what has happened in flight since then. Amen? You need to learn how to walk under the law of the Spirit. You will start off kind of looking like the Wright brothers. Go a little ways, right back down on the ground again. Go a little ways, right back down on the ground again. But if you keep at it long enough, you keep at it long enough, and you strengthen your spirit through prayer, through the word, and through practicing those things that are in the law of lift, or the law of the spirit, then you will no longer be like the Wright brothers playing. You're going to be in a F-16, F-18, F-23, whatever. Hey, let's go with the spot. Let's go with the SR-71 Blackbird. Pew. Space shuttle even. It's all up to you. Steve preached a good sermon today. So did Paul. As you were listening, and so did what's his face? Philip. I'd say something about Scott, but he already likes himself too much. But Steve was talking about the putting off and the putting on. You see, the things of the world you have to put off. God is not going to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. What does that mean? That means I come to Bob. And I say, Bob, I want you to do so-and-so. Maybe Bob doesn't feel like doing it right then. And is it natural tendency as a man, me, you, anyone, woman, if they're not in the right frame of mind, is to go, I don't want to. I got too much to do. I got other things to do. I don't have time. So you got to put that off and put on by faith. Yes, Lord. Yes, sir, no problem. We had a man in the ministry at one time. Some of you may remember him. I'm not going to say his name. But anyway, he had a vision. And this vision, the Lord showed him, or told him, that he was to do whatsoever things I told him to do. Oh, praise the Lord. So I sent him to Maryland. And I said, I want you to work with Steve. And whatever Steve tells you, you do it as though it were me. Of course, he didn't do it. His justification? Steve wasn't you. And I said to him, but I told you to do unto Steve as you would unto me. He couldn't get it. You see, Jesus said, you believe in the Father, believe in me also. All right. Do we believe in Jesus? Believe in the apostles also. Do we believe in the apostles? Believe in the prophets also. The evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers that have proven themselves to be of God, have shown that they walk with God. Amen? Now, I know who I am. And I know what I am. And I don't need anybody to testify of me. For God over the years has testified of me many times. And who I am and what he's called me for. But I know this. Just like you, I can forget to operate in the law of lift. Or walking in the Spirit. It's something you've got to remind yourself of continuously. You've got to set your eyes on the things that are above. You have to set your affections on those things that are above and not the things that are here. The things that are here will not last. They will die away. They will be burned up. But the things that are above will be forever. So, it's your choice. And some people may say, this is terrible for me to say this. But I'll say it, whether you do it or not, it's nothing to me. Whether you choose to cast off the old man and walk in the Spirit by love, it's nothing to me. Because whether you do or you don't will not affect my place in eternity one iota. You understand what I'm saying? The one place we have to be selfish and covetous is in is getting to heaven, being with the Lord. The rest of it doesn't matter. But you got to love one another. You got to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, your strength, your mind. And you got to love one another. It's that simple. And you got to forget. You got to forget the things of the past. You got to get rid of them. Get them out of your mind. Because they lock you down on the world, on this earth. And as long as you're chained to the earth, you can never fly. You gotta get rid of the chains. You gotta do it. If you wanna fly. You judge people. And judge not yourself. If you judged yourself, you wouldn't judge others. Because if you judged yourself, you'd have to confess that you're guilty. You may not be guilty of the same things I'm guilty of. I may not be guilty of the same things you're guilty of. But we don't compare our judgment between ourselves. We compare our judgment to Jesus. And you start judging yourself against Jesus, and you're going to lose every single time. You will never win that one. Oh, I can look at Bob and I can say, he's got this fault, that fault, the other fault. And I don't. So I'm better than Bob. But Jesus says neither one of you are better than I am. And if Bob were to say, well, that's okay, I'm guilty, I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm going to rely on him, and I'm going to love Davey no matter what, then guess who wins in that argument? Bob does, not me. You understand what I'm saying? It goes for guys working. Love your employer. Love them as though they were the Lord. Serve them as though they were the Lord. Who knows, you might win them to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Love them enough to be honest with them, be truthful with them. Even if you know when you say what you have to say, you're not going to like the response you get back. And women are good at giving responses we don't want. And not only are they good at giving these responses, they're good at making them last for weeks. Or months. Years even. It's in their DNA. There are some guys that can do the same, but I've known a few that grab a rag and won't turn it loose for nothing. Stuff that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they're still complaining about. Hey, bury that old dog. It's dead. It ain't going to do nothing for you now, and it won't hunt rabbits. Amen, Brother Davey. Amen. You got to get rid of that old stuff. Get rid of the old ways of thinking. And start thinking like God wants you to think. When you are given a hard time by somebody, love them. Extend grace and mercy. That's what God wants. You want God to do with you. Amen. And you do this, and you do it long enough, you're going to find you're going to start flying. And when you start flying, you're going to get stronger. And as you get stronger, you're going to soar. You're going to soar. Now, you got to refuel every now and then. You got to refuel. Some of you might run on gas. Some might run on propane. Or some of you might run on diesel. I've met some smelly ones. I think they run on diesel. I run on electric. It's called dunamis power. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's that power of the Holy Ghost that is the only power that is able to renew itself. And if I keep my batteries plugged into that, then they never go bad. And how do I do that? By loving all these great people that God has given me through all the great trials and tribulations that I get to go through. Because you see, unless you go through tribulation, unless you go through trials, you'll never see the power of God in your life. You'll never see it. It's only by going through trials and tribulations that you can come to that place where your choice that you make can be yes, Lord, or why, Lord. Think about it. When you say, why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? Why are these things attacking me? Why are you not healing me? Then you have gone beyond judging your brother. And now you're judging God himself. Think of that. If Lazarus, sitting at the gate, had judged God for his predicament, he wouldn't have been sitting in Abraham's bosom when he died. And the rich man who had it all and thought he deserved it all, and God had given it to him because he was so good, went to hell. He saw Lazarus sitting out there every day and thought to himself, he's like that because he's a sinner. But I'm righteous. Look how God has blessed me. And he had it all wrong. You may look at somebody who's going through a trial, who's going through a tribulation. They're going through it. If they are of God, if they love the Lord, they're going through it because God wants to bless them. I've been going through a trial and a tribulation for 2 years. And I'm not saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Because I know God isn't doing it to me. He's allowing it to happen. But it's not going to stay this way forever. I will be free of this. I will be free of this. And Jesus Christ will get all of the glory. Amen. I watched my wife, Ann, who wasn't born a couple years ago, was taken to the hospital and told that they hadn't taken her. When they did, she would have never lasted the night. Here my wife was with sugar diabetes. And they call COPD another thing that she had. All this stuff that she had, she went through it. But it took me having to decide to love her enough to tell her the things that she needed to hear that I didn't want to say. And then it took her to say, yes, Lord. Whether she understood it or not. Now she no longer has COPD. And her diabetes is almost non-existent because it's, number one, it's not hers anyway, but the diabetes that's attacked her is almost gone. God says, believe. Whatso things you believe shall be done unto you. Isn't that cool? Whatsoever things you believe shall be done unto you. What do you want to believe? Do you want to believe the world? You got COPD, you'll never be healed. You want to believe that? Then believe it and die of it and not learn anything. Or you can say, wait a minute. God says, if I believe, I will be healed. God says, if I ask him anything in his son's name, anything, and believe it, he will do it. The Father will do it to prove his love for the Son. I hope some of you listening out there are hearing what I'm saying. God will heal you to prove his love for Jesus. But you gotta operate in the law of the Spirit and stop operating in the law of the world. The Spirit is of the Spirit, and the world is of the world, and neither will either one mingle. You cannot be of the world and claim the things of the Spirit. You can't do it. And you cannot be of the Spirit and claim the things of the world. You gotta make your choice. I've made my choice. I made my choice. I claim the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I will live in the Spirit. I will dwell in the most high spot with the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be part of his body. I will walk with him and in him and he in me. Because he said it. Because he said it. Can I get an amen? Amen? Man, if some of you guys, if you could just hear, I wish I was in a Pentecostal church right now. If I was in a Pentecostal church, they'd be dancing right now. Praise be the Lord. I'm done.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Scripture in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge." And that is knowledge of the Lord. And we've heard a number of sermons this morning. And there is knowledge there that we can accept and we can grow with, we can learn. But we also have the opportunity of rejecting it. In order to know the Lord, we have to take the knowledge that is in the Word. We take the knowledge that comes from His apostles, His prophets, evangelists, His pastors, His teachers. And we, if we reject it, it puts us in a very bad place. We can learn to walk in the Spirit. We can overcome gravity if we accept the knowledge that He provides for us. Yes, you can reject it all day long and said it doesn't pertain to me, but everything in that Word pertains to everyone. And we can see out here in the world that the knowledge of God has been rejected. People don't want to know. They don't want to be accountable. They want to do what they want to do. Which takes me to somewhere. 1 John, starting with verse 15, chapter 2. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." There's a good example of verse 16, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, I believe. This is, Eve is in the garden and the serpent's there tempting her. And it says, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food," that is the lust of the eyes, or that was the lust of the flesh, and she was hungry, she wanted something to eat, "and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that fruit looked delicious, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Make one wise. That's the pride of life. We can all become like Eve in that we can see things out there that, ooh, boy, that looks good. Boy, that would satisfy me. And boy, if I had that, people think I was really cool or I was really great. They think I was smart to make a decision to get that. But the only thing we should desire is a closer walk with Jesus, to walk like him, to follow the examples of Paul and John and Peter and all the apostles, to follow the examples of people who came before us in history who walked with God, and they showed his power, his love, and there was revival in the land. We have examples today of people who walk in that love, who walk in that power, and we need to follow them. We've got to forget about the lusts of our flesh. We need to desire Jesus, and we need to desire all that we can be in Jesus, giving him all the glory. When we start trying to placate people, we start thinking our flesh is more important than everything else. That's when we're going to fall. God is what's more important. Walking in his Spirit is what's important. There's nothing greater, there's nothing more important. And we have the tools to be able to do that. And the tools are in his word. And the tools are in his spokesman, whether it be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, pastor, or teacher. He has given us the tools that we can put off this flesh and walk in him. We can put on that Spirit and walk. Don't give in to the temptation out here in the world. Don't give in to pressure to give up what God has provided for you. And he has provided it for every single one of us. Don't quit. Keep your eyes on him. Put him first in everything that you do. And praise the Lord, I hope we make it. I'd be like Paul, I have a hope of salvation. Until I stand before Jesus, I'll have that hope.
Praise the Lord.
I have one that just stood out to me. Mine was at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, over to verse 28. Take this as a command. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Amen. That's all I've got. Let's do some music.
Oh,
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. Beautiful words. Walk them. Dear Lord, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you for you giving your life on the cross so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. To have it now and to have it for all of eternity. And we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. And we thank you for your long suffering through our misdeeds, our missteps. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for those that you put around us and above us so that we may hear the truth and that we can walk in it. We thank you, Lord, for going out with us today and every day so that we may do your work, so that we may show your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.